Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here with another exit interview for episode number 12 of Survivor Millennials versus Gen X. And today we're going to be speaking with Zeke Smith, voted out of the game last night after he really made this big power grab earlier in the season, a couple episodes ago. Ultimately, it probably was a bit too early because Zeke is going to be joining us after Will decided he needed to make a big move, and then Adam plays his idol as well. So a little bit unclear as to whether we consider Zeke idled out of the game or not, but we will talk about everything with Zeke on the Exit Interview podcast. So last night, Steven Fishback and I had a very fun show. Once again, breaking everything down. Busy day as well here as Shireen will join me later on today. Mike Bloom on the voicemail. So it's going to be a very fun week of podcasting here with everything going on. Of course, that if you are so inclined to be checking out the holiday shopping already, the best place to go, Amazon.com. All sorts of Cyber Monday deals happening with their Cyber Monday Deals Week. You can go to robhasawebsite.com/Cyber Monday to check all of those out all throughout the weekend, or robhasawebsite.com/Amazon anytime. I believe we have Zeke here on the line. Let's go ahead and patch him in. Zeke, are you there?
Rob.
Good morning.
Dude, good morning. I mean, look, I'm not crazy about the circumstances, but it is a dream to be talking to you. Half the reason I went on Survivor was to get on the podcast.
Well, there were a lot of easier ways we could have done that, Zeke. You didn't have to go and do all the starving and everything like that.
Well, that was fun, too.
Yeah, well, it was definitely fun to watch you this season. You know, really, we're very excited about how this civil war was going to play out between you and David. And frankly, I thought I would be speaking to David today.
Well, you know, Rob, I thought you might be speaking to Dave as well. I didn't, you know, there are a couple of flips I didn't foresee. I didn't foresee Hannah flipping on me. Switching the numbers from 6-4 to 5-5 and forcing rocks. And after he stuck his hand in a bag of rocks for me, I didn't see Will slipping on me either. But these kooky millennials, I never could understand them.
All right, well, let's start with the tribal council last night. Did you know at that tribal council that the votes had gone against you? Because as a viewer, I was very confused as what Will's decision was going to be. And I actually thought that you had got him back on your side before Steven pointed out, no, Will actually did vote against Zeke.
Yeah, I walked into that tribal, you know, obviously knowing Will was the swing vote. I thought I had persuaded Will back because I was like, look, man, you're a fan. You understand this. You understand you don't flip to be on the bottom of someone else's alliance. But, you know, someone put this crazy idea in Will's head, this idea called the pendulum strategy.
Yeah.
I don't know where he got that, but it was his dream to enact this strategy, and that meant flipping on me at that vote.
Yeah, there's a secret scene about that.
So I blame you, Rob.
Yeah, don't blame me. Don't blame me, because it did sound familiar when I looked at it. But in terms of this pendulum strategy that he's talking about, that he pulls Hannah aside and he says, okay, I want to take out this power player this week and then swing back and take out this power player this week and this power player this week. So it did seem like it makes a little more sense, but I didn't know that Hannah was really working with him hand in hand. Is that accurate?
I believe so. I actually didn't see that secret scene. But they were not, they always had a bit of a relationship, but when we were putting together the rock vote, Will had a lot of animosity, as a lot of people did, towards Hannah. So if Will had repaired that relationship, that was something that was unbeknownst to me. I mean, I saw Will running off into the woods with Hannah quite a bit. I mean, I sort of had the feeling before Ken revealed it to Jay that Will was flipping. And I think that repairing those bonds between Will and Hannah is, you know, was a good move on Hannah's part.
When you first heard this idea of that Will needed to vote you out to help his resume, I mean, what do you say to something like that?
It's hard to know what to say. I mean, I would say on this season, we spoke very openly about strategy. There are a lot of fans. I think everyone's very engaged with the show. So we did, I mean, you know, talk openly about like what was the, you know, logical guidance behind many of the moves we were making. I think what I tried to convey to Will was like, you can make all the moves you want, but this is going to put you in a vulnerable position. you're safe with me because I'm your shield. Like, no one's going to come after you as long as I'm out there and as long as Jay is out there. I also need you more than you need me, right? Like, I don't have any option to flip with anybody else. Like, you have all of the power in this five. So you try to convince him it's in his best interest to stick with you, but, you know, he's 18 and he's excited and he's going to do what he wants to do.
Do you think that part of him being impressionable as a younger person out there was that he saw you make a big flip and really gain a lot of power in the game after you turned against Chris?
I think so. I think Will has witnessed a lot of people make big moves. You know, he was sitting right there when Michelle flipped Hannah. He was at Ikebula when Jay flips against Michaela. You know, he saw us, you know, the nerd millennials turn against the popular millennials, and then me turn against Chris, and then Dave and I turn against each other. And, you know, Will's a fan, and Will's a smart guy and a good player, and I think he wanted to get in on the action and finally saw that he was in a position to make a move and wanted to make it.
So when Hannah gets the idol played on her by Adam, I mean, was there any, you know, thought to say, hey, Jay, play your idol on me?
You know, I think I'd run it by Jay, but I just knew there was no chance Jay was going to play his idol for me, right? Like, Jay needs the idol for himself.
So one of the things that we talked about a lot last night with this episode was, so Will and Ken have this conversation, and then Ken goes back to Jay and starts to out what Will said. And Will seems like really mad about that, and it really did seem like that was what pushed Will back to your side. What did you think of what Ken had to say in this episode?
Well, that's, I think, pretty par for the course for Ken. I think Ken is a bit of an anomaly in the group that remains. Because everyone else is a big fan and is, I think, trying to make logical, strategic moves. And Ken is playing a little more of this old school, you know, game of like honor, and he's loyal to Dave. And like, it really matters to Ken how much work you do around camp, but like that affects your status with Ken. So I think it was actually just like a good illustration of what we all experienced the entire time with Ken and his approach to the game.
What was your relationship like with Ken? Because I've seen, you know, scenes of, you know, Ken and David and Hannah and a couple of, obviously, Jessica and a couple other players in the game. But I don't think that we had a lot of you and Ken.
Yeah, I try to, I mean, my goal was to have a relationship with everybody and find something that I could connect with anyone on. I had the hardest time with Ken because I think I'm sort of a bit more, you know, emotionless and practical, and Ken is very in touch with his feelings and is a bit more of a dreamer. Ken, it's also sometimes hard to get a word in edgewise with Ken. Ken will often just talk at you, and you don't really know where you stand with him because he doesn't really engage back with you. He kind of pontificates for hours on end.
So, Zeke, one of the things going back to last week's episode that I was hoping you could shed some light on was this 5-5 vote and the rock draw, because I sort of understood where the other side was coming from going into this, where we have five and then hopefully David plays his idol and we are able to idle out the votes. But from your side of things, were you just hoping that maybe they wouldn't have their act together and they wouldn't be able to match your five?
Well, there are two things here. And I think really the underreported headline of the rock draw is that Hannah flips away from the numbers. Like, Hannah flips from 6-4 to 5-5. And, you know, there's not a whole, I mean, like, Hannah kind of flips because she likes Dave better than she likes me. And that's on me. I feel like Dave was able, like, Dave's ability to be vulnerable and in touch with his feelings made people feel a lot warmer towards him. And that bond was a lot more, I think, secure. And I think towards the end of the game, I was a little too invested in this idea of being the general. And I didn't provide that like emotional security I think Hannah needed in particular. So there's that. The Hannah flip doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but now we're in a position where I know I've got five votes coming my way. And I know the only way I'm safe is if we get the idol misplayed and we tie the vote twice and we go to rocks. So I try to prepare my troops for rocks. We we had a misinformation campaign with the other side, which is we tried to convince them we wanted to split the votes against Will and Jay, and then Will and Jay threw Ken's name around, hoping that, like, maybe we could, like, Adam was really confused. We thought maybe we could get Adam to, like, vote for Will and Jay, or that throwing Ken's name around, we would ultimately get the idleness played, and UC Sunday execute that to perfection at Tribal Council. Also, the reason why we went after Hannah, one, I think she was the least likely to get the idol played on her behalf because she was Dave's newest ally. And as such, she was a little more, like, expendable. Like, you know, Dave could have easily picked up, like, Will or Jay to replace Hannah. Also, I needed people making an emotional decision and not a logical decision, because I don't think it was that smart to go put your game on the line for me, of all people.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of animus towards Hannah. That was the vote that got people most, like, riled up and wanting to, you know, I think, push past any logical hesitations they might have to go to Rocks for me. So I prepared everybody that we were going to Rocks that night, that was our best case scenario. I might have neglected to mention that I didn't have to draw a rock.
Yeah.
And people really didn't figure that out until we were at Tribal, but, you know, it worked out okay. I mean, at least at that Tribal.
I mean, just a really historic, amazing moment. I feel like that we're going to talk about that Tribal Council for years to come. So just like I think that was the highlight of the season so far for me. Just going back to the vote that was in that same episode, but the first hour of that, which has sort of gotten overlooked because of all the excitement about the rock draw. So you were really the swing vote in the decision to send Chris home, where you really had a decision to make of whether you were going to go with the David side of the Gen X Civil War or the Chris side of the Gen X Civil War. And I think I was surprised at the time that you decided to go with David and Ken and Jessica. Could you speak a little bit more about why you felt like that was the better side to land on?
Sure. I knew that Dave was the person I need to be most concerned about. And when I talked to Chris, so there was this like blood feud between like Chris and Sunday against Jess. And like, I didn't see Jess as that threatening in the game. Like, she's very intelligent and had good relationships. But as far as threats went, I thought it was much more important to knock out one of the other locus of power. The other locus of the power, of course, being Chris and David. And Chris wanted to vote out Jess. And I was like, this doesn't do me any good to get Jess out of the game and leave both Chris and David in, because two of the three of us are going to pair up against the other. And I need to get one of the other poles of power out. I also felt, looking at the game board, that I could scoop up Brett and Sunday, and I needed them as allies because I lacked native allies. Like, I really didn't have anybody from the millennial tribe besides Hannah. And I had really close, I felt a really strong bond with both Brett and Sunday. And by getting, you know, Chris out, I was like, I can get Brett and Sunday to vote with me. And I was correct. I never foresaw that Hannah would flip. And I think that was the biggest kink in my plan, is when Hannah flipped. And I was like, oh, damn, I didn't see that one come. And that really, I think, put a damper on, you know, my strategic maneuverability.
In addition to Hannah, though, I feel like that it really was not explored on the show, the deterioration of your relationship with Adam, who back in the beginning of the season, that's one of your tightest allies. And it seemed like, at least coming into the merge, that you're tight with Adam. And while you grew frustrated with him, I never really understood on the show why he was out on you so quickly, to the point where he's willing to draw a rock to send you home and then ultimately is playing an idol to ensure that you go home this week.
Yeah, well, Adam and I's relationship is a lot more tenuous than was portrayed. So after Mari goes home, Adam and I are clearly on the bottom, but I'm on a lower rung than Adam. I'm the one who goes home should the Millennial Tribe go back to Tribal Council. And Adam and I try to see if there's any wiggle room to flip.
No maybe. Wiggle room anymore.
No more wiggle room, right? To flip Will and Michaela to maybe get Figgy out. But it becomes very clear that group is locked in. So my only option is to start throwing Adam under the bus to maybe get Adam out before I go. And it's not that I didn't like Adam. It was just the only move I had. And Adam knew about that. So, you know, there's, we left the Millennial Beach with not a lot of trust. I also think there's a, Adam and I are a bit competitive with each other. I think we both walked in thinking like, well, I'm the, you know, intelligent super fan strategist. And we're playing sort of similarly and kept butting heads and being like, no, I'm the one who's supposed to be in charge. So there was that. There wasn't a whole lot of trust between Adam and I walking into the merge. And then when Adam told me about his plan to try to flip Taylor away from Jay, I discouraged him. I was like, I don't think this is going to work out, man. And I was like, also, I've got really good relationships with Chris and Jay. We can vote with the Gen X, or sorry, with Chris and David. We can vote with the Gen Xers. And Adam just wouldn't listen to me. Like, he didn't believe me. And it wasn't until all that Taylor stuff started to blow up that I was finally like, all right, can you trust me now? So our relationship was never great.
All right. Well, Zeke, thanks again for coming on with us. I know you got to run and have a lot of stuff to do today, but I really do appreciate you making the time for us. And this is a pleasure and so much good information. And I really look forward to talking in more detail at some point down the road.
All right. It was a joy to talk to you, Rob. And I just went out there and wanted to make good TV. We're all Team TV.
Yes, good stuff. All right, Zeke, you take care, buddy. Okay.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, there you have it. Zeke Smith here on the podcast. And Zeke, really great job dropping a lot of knowledge. I think I need to go back and listen to that again to make sure I picked up everything that he said. But a lot of big takeaways there. And it did seem like that they had really orchestrated everything going into that. I had said all week long, I didn't think that that was a move to try to throw off the other side. But according to Zeke, he's saying that they really did plan that out. So a lot of great stuff from Zeke today, so really appreciate that. All right, so why don't we switch gears to another person that at one point wrote blogs on robhasawebsite.com. Let's bring in the curator of This Week in Survivor History, The Quiz, Jordan Kalish.
Hey, Rob. Sad day for all the former RHAP bloggers. We like to, you know, we like to support each other.
Yes.
And I'm going to miss Zeke on the show.
Yeah, I believe Zeke wrote an article about the Real Housewives, and you covered Teresa Giudice, so they sort of have that in common.
That's right. There were a couple Real Housewives on The Celebrity Apprentice.
Yeah. So, Jordan, are you ready with another quiz for this week with my beautiful un-jet-like record?
I am. You know what? First of all, we called that that Jets loss, but I don't think we really went out on a limb predicting that the Jets would lose to the Patriots.
It was a lot closer than I thought.
It was. They played well. It was a fun game to be at. But I am ready with a quiz. And Rob, I'm testing you.
Yes. Oh, you're like a real Ken. I hope I don't fail your test.
Yeah. And then I'm going to test you. And then I'm going to go to all of your friends and tell them about it.
This was a test. You didn't pass. Yeah.
All right. You got a test for me. But before we get into this latest test for today, I got to take a moment and talk about our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. And those are our friends over at Movement Watches. Now, Jordan, on This Week in Survivor History, you are very concerned with time, really. I mean, without time, I mean, there would be no This Week in Survivor History.
There wouldn't be time, the passage of time, and anything related to time, there wouldn't be. If you got rid of it, there wouldn't be this quiz.
That's right. And also, time is very hard to find to get out there and do any sort of holiday shopping. But at Movement Watches, they're taking all of the gift-giving anxiety away with a press of a button, because a Movement Watch, not only it make the perfect purchase for anyone in your life, man or woman, remember that they start at only $95. At a department store, you're looking at maybe $400 or $500 for a watch, but not with a Movement watch starting at $95. Movement figured out by selling a watch directly to the consumer, they could cut out the middleman, just like people should have done with Will, cut out the guy in the middle at that vote last night, Jordan.
Yeah, he's the pawn. He's the swing vote.
Yeah. That's what Movement did. They said, get rid of this middleman, vote him out, because he's standing in the way of people getting their hands on our watches with a classic design, quality construction, and stylized minimalism. Over 500,000 Movement watches have been sold in over 160 countries. That's more than Survivor has even been to.
That's incredible. It's a lot of countries.
It's almost all the countries. So you can get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to Movement Watches. That's MVMTWatches.com/ RHAP. This watch has a classic design that you're going to love. So step up your watch game. Go to MVMTWatches.com/RHAP to join the movement. All right, I'm going to step up my This Week in Survivor History game this week, because last week it was a squeaker. I barely won. This week I really need to not just win, I feel like I need to dominate.
Yeah, I think you only had 4 points last week, which is the minimum in order to win. It's your lowest total since the first week.
Yes, I know. I know. But all right, Jordan, we're going to get back on the horse, feeling like December. I feel like that, you know, it's that December air ready to really jog my memory of Survivor history.
Unless you're like the Tony Romo Cowboys who always fall apart in December.
The Jets were winless in November, I believe.
Well, that's not surprising.
Yes. Okay. All right. Jordan, where do you want to go?
All right, we're going to go to Survivor Guatemala. This is the episode Price for Immunity. I thought you like post-merge Guatemala. You just don't like pre-merge Guatemala. But this is from December 1st, 2005, 11 years ago today. And the reason I chose this episode, this was the loved ones episode in Guatemala.
Okay.
So we have question number one. Rob, would you like to use your point doubler?
I would not.
All right. At the beginning of the episode, Lydia claims to have smelled eggs and bacon while waking up. How does Judd explain this phenomenon? Mm-hmm. A, she must have been dreaming. B, he woke up early and cooked bacon and eggs that they had won in a reward. C, Lydia's just crazy. D, Steph's farts smell like eggs.
Yeah. I believe it's D. I'm sorry to unsettle people. I got some complaints about some questions I had asked Chris in his exit interview, and I feel like this is more of the same. Let's go with D.
D, you are correct. More fart talk, but you are one for one. Congratulations. So I hope the same people who complained about the Chris questions aren't complaining about this question.
Well, you can hope.
They probably will. That's all right. Come at me, bro.
All right. Good. One question, an easy one in the books.
Yeah, get the first one out of the way. And we are now going to question number two. You are one for one.
Yes.
During the Survivor auction, and now this episode actually had the auction and it had the loved ones in the same episode, which is pretty rare.
Okay.
During the Survivor auction, who bought the advantage in the next immunity challenge? Was it A, Rafe, B, Danny, C, Cindy, D, Steph?
Huge moment in Survivor Guatemala. Really started the momentum going in the direction of the winner of this season. Danny Boatwright bought the advantage.
You are correct, Rob. You're two for two. Danny bought the advantage for $200. And that $200 really was the first, really a stepping stone for her. And that's not a pun from the challenge, which actually did have stepping stones. It is a stepping stone to her winning that season, because if she doesn't
stepping
switch
tiles
spots,
at the very
stepping
least.
Tile, that's true. It was a stretch. But if she doesn't get that advantage where she was able to switch spots with Steph on the tile flipping challenge, she probably doesn't win that challenge. And she most likely goes home in this episode. Instead, she wins the season.
So there you go. All right.
Big, big auction moment. So like I said before, the loved ones were involved in this auction. So Jeff brought out the loved ones to bid on. Which survivor had a twin sibling? Was it A, Judd, B, Lydia, C, Cindy, D, Rafe?
The survivor from Guatemala that has a twin also appeared on another show with somebody else to connect it back to Celebrity Apprentice with Bret Michaels, right? That Mindy Hall was on Rock of Love, and that would be the twin sister of Cindy Hall.
You are correct, and you even got the name. I love that there's Cindy and Mindy. Yeah, Cindy had a twin. Cindy won a car, so very good job. You are three for three.
I can't believe a car. This car is the best car of all time. I'm going to get a car.
But what would you rather have? Would you rather have a car, or would you rather have three
a tour
points?
Bus?
3 points, 1 point away from winning the This Week in Survivor History quiz.
Bret Michaels, he's got this tour bus. It's the most amazing tour bus of all time. I can't believe how good this tour bus is. He's got all these women and from all over the place that want to hang out with him all the time in the tour bus.
Uh-huh. And then Bret Michaels, he actually got hired for a job that he probably didn't deserve by somebody. I forgot who the boss was, but that's what happened on that show.
Yes.
All right. So, Rob, you don't love Guatemala, but you got through Guatemala with flying colors. You're three for three. And
wow.
Now we're going to go to Survivor Samoa. This is the episode Off With Their Heads. This is from December 3rd, 2009, 7 years ago this Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Question number four, you want to use your point doubler.
Oh, sure. Why not?
All right. The 2 point question. During the Samoa auction, Fincher is given a choice to eat what he bid on or give four other people food. before making his decision, what question does he ask his tribe mates? A, is anyone really stoked on pie? B, is anyone really stoked on pizza? C, is anyone really stoked on fries? D, is anyone really stoked on manioc?
If I had not done the evolution of strategy, then I might have no idea about this, but for quite some time, Josh Wigler and I discussed the absurd question that John Fincher asked everybody. Like, so you guys all like stoked on pie or what? And then, I think then he just pretty sure that he just ate it himself, right? Because he said that but he's stoked on pie.
Yeah, you are correct. He was stoked on pie. And yes, he did choose to eat the pie. He was able to give four pieces of pie to his tri-mates, and he chose to eat the one little piece of pie. He also, in this auction, bid a hunch instead of a hundred.
Yeah.
Yes. So I have a hunch that he's maybe not the greatest Survivor player in the world.
How dare you? Yeah. How dare you?
He's a poser.
Stop.
Not really a poser. Actually, he was at Know-It-Alls once. Very interesting guy.
Yes, yes. He loves Stephen Fishback.
He does, yeah. I mean, who doesn't?
Yes. Wow.
Well, you actually won the game with that question.
Sterling
you have five
record.
Points. Yes, and there's two questions left. You could go for a perfect week. You haven't had a perfect week in a while now.
Like Babe Ruth, I really called my shot this week. I said, all right.
Yeah, and you still have your 50-50. So question number five. After arguing about how to properly cook chicken, Shambo has what she considers a clairvoyant dream. Who did she dream was being voted out? Was it A, Fincher, B, Dave Ball, C, Monica Bedia, D, herself?
I believe that her dream concerned Mr. Dave Ball.
You are correct, Rob. It was Dave Ball. So she actually wants to vote out Dave Ball. They had a big argument about the chicken. She was very connected to the chickens, and she wanted to cook it in the stew instead of roasting it. Dave Ball wasn't happy about that. And he was actually the one who takes credit for winning the chickens on for the Galoo tribe. But yes, Shambo does consider herself a clairvoyant, even though Dave Ball isn't the one who ends up going home in this episode.
And Dave Ball, who frequently is towing the line of appropriateness with comments he makes to my wife on social media.
I haven't seen those.
Okay.
I don't think I want
it. You're lucky.
Hey, making love is a sport.
Apparently.
Making inappropriate tweets is also a sport, apparently.
Not tweets.
Oh, not tweets? which
Facebook and Instagram. I hear I hear these things. I say, what?
I think that makes it weirder if it's not Twitter. At least Twitter is like, you know, it's like a public, more of a public thing.
I feel like that there's less like pickup lines on Twitter.
That would just, I don't know. Dave Ball's a weird guy. But I liked him on this season. He only survives for one more episode past this. So there's only one more question in this quiz. Question number six. Fincher won an idol clue at the auction, but quickly realizes Russell must have found it already after searching where the clue said the idol would be. He confronts Russell, who accidentally reveals that he did in fact find the idol, causing him to switch the vote from Dave to Fincher. During this conversation, who does Russell tell Fincher to vote for at Tribal, which Fincher listens to and is promptly blindsided? A, did he vote for Shambo? B, Natalie? C, Jason? D, Mick?
Well, I do have that 50-50 in my back pocket.
You do.
So why don't we use it? I kind of wanted to go off with a perfect record and the advantage in my pocket, but no, let's use it.
All right, so I'm going to take away Shambo and Natalie. Your choices are Jason and Mick. The two horsemen of the Oafoa tribe.
Let's see. I would guess I will go with Jason, but it's really I'm 51-49 on it.
All right. I think I may have guessed Jason also, but the answer is Mick. Jason actually wins immunity in this episode, so he couldn't have been voted for. So the answer was Mick. He does vote for Mick, but except for Shambo, who votes for Dave, everyone else votes for John Fincher, and yep, he is blindsided.
If I recall this episode, I think that it's funny because Russell ends up talking about, like, he does like confessionally, he's like, I made a mistake and I told Fincher that I had, and now I have to vote him out. Sometimes you get voted out when I make a mistake, and that's just how it goes.
Yes, he did. He's sitting on top of like a big rock also. And it's a good confessional. And he's also, he says that sometimes these survivors should close their ears when he's talking because it could end up with them losing the game.
Poor John Fincher, that he was just stoked on pie and I made a mistake and now I got to kill him.
Interesting dichotomy here where Russell tells survivors to close their ears and Dan Foley tells survivors to open their ears.
Yes. Okay. Well, maybe that's a buddy comedy at some point down the road. All right. Jordan Kalish, again, fantastic work. And episode 12 of Millennials and Gen X in the books.
Yeah, and season finale next week of This Week in Survivor History being that we don't do the quiz on the finale week.
All right. So good stuff, Jordan. And talk to you next week. Okay, buddy.
Talk to you then.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
All right, everybody. There you have it. This Week in Survivor History on another Survivor Exit Interview podcast. Of course, we have Shireen coming up here in just a little bit. And then I will get into the voicemails with Mike Bloom. Get your calls in. robhaswebsite.com/voicemail. And then later on tonight, Jordan Parhar is going to be on with the LFC to talk about the finale of BBOTT. I will have my own coverage coming up on Friday of the BBOTT finale, where we'll take more of your questions. So catch all of that at robhaswebsite.com or by subscribing to the podcast, robhaswebsite.com/iTunes. And of course, be sure to check out all the great deals going on at amazon.com with our link, robhaswebsite.com/amazon or robhaswebsite.com/amazonca. All right, everybody, looking forward to hearing what you think in the comments. Talk to you again soon. Bye.